Well, my featured guest today, Arch Crawford, combines technical analysis with the planetary alignments, astronomical anomalies. Welcome back, Arch.
Delighted to be here. Thank you.
You have been very concerned about these markets for a while. Do you see this as an ultimate zenith?
Well, I said in my November, December, January letters that I thought we were building a top pattern, which might take months, but that the first portion of it should be the last of several cycles topping. The last one was January 25th, and I wrote that up and sent it out to everybody. And, of course, the top was the 26th. Maybe the long-term top, all we could go down a few minor weeks and then rally to the seasonal high in late April or early May, and then we'll see from that. But the most dangerous portion may come during the eclipses in the summer.
I'm sure you heard that the British company, Carillion, a partnership between the Crown and construction firm Carillion, sort of a Fannie Mae scenario. Well, it was the most heavily shorted for nearly a year. And of course, as we all know now, it collapsed in a very brief period of time. Well, fast forward to last week, another big theme that the institutions and the deep pockets and the money managers had been rolling into was the short volatility.
I wrote about the unnatural slimness of the volatility, and that the only thing that would make the markets go down at all were foreign events that were unexpected and uncontrollable. Like, number one was the Swiss pulling out of the euro, they're pegged to the euro, and then the China devalued the yuan, and then the Brexit.
The idea is, or was at least, you know, you just can't lose. I mean, the market's going up and up and up. We're in a runaway bull market. It's a permanently high plateau. The new status quo. Who would dare fight the trend? There was a, I believe it was Swiss-backed ETN, or ETF, if you will, that essentially was a heavily leveraged, short, bearish volatility. The idea was it was a leveraged bet for everyday investors, you know, wrapped up nicely in a closed-end fund, that the stock market would keep going up. It collapsed from 140 in just a few days' time to, at last check, 5. But I saw 50 million day volume. At 145, I mean, that's some serious dough changing hands. And I noticed a breakdown in the weekly. It gave a whole week and then a couple more days of warning. You had a window of opportunity. Any thoughts on the volatility disaster?
Only that I predicted in the letter the top day, and it was one day off. Thought it would drop fairly sharply, but then the first 3 or 4 days, the advanced declines deteriorated very rapidly, and that kind of locked it in as a strong negative to me.
It may have been the largest either one day or one week percentage move. It was close to 100% on the VIX.
It was a huge 115%. Increase. I am not particularly in, I feel that that's terribly, terribly important. I think the level has some significance, but the level I had on the front of my letter in, I think I did it January, the late January, the February letter, and I said I had the VIX picture on the first page with it breaking above the high in the last, I don't know, 2.5 years. I've forgotten what the time frame was, but it was the highest it's been in a long time. And then the next 2 or 3 days, it went through the roof.
The rest of the world is only waking up to the brilliance of Nassim Taleb, Dr. Nassim Taleb. Now he's teaching, as I understand, in New York. If you look at his Anti-Fragile, you can make bets all day long, but you must limit risk. And it's the black swans, it's the fragile nature of the markets that people forget about. You know, what they're trying to do is pick up pennies, and they're risking dollars to do it.
They had instituted widely that you could protect yourself in the market by selling the S&P futures, which were fairly new at the time. If it went down so much, you sell so many futures, and then it goes down more, you sell more futures. What happened with that? You were supposed to be protected to a five sigma event, statistical event. On the day of the crash in 87, it went 7 sigma, which is 100 times more.
I recently listened to an extremely successful retired investor from Wall Street, made quite a fortune and is rather renowned. I'll keep his name out of this. He was talking about Bill Gross. Now, I know you follow these markets and you may have seen that he's thrice called the top of the bond market. He pointed out, look, what these really sharp folks that are making all these calls do, they're hedged. So they come on and they say, hey, I love the S&P 500. They go long the S&P futures and they buy puts. Or another arrangement, which maybe you're risking 1 or 2% on the downside. If it works out, yeah, they make a fortune and they're levered too. If they're wrong, they lose pennies along the way. And who cares? You know, that'll be a lower price. I'll buy it back again and I'll do the same arrangement. You know, mom, pa, kettle, they don't have the sophistication or the leverage or the opportunity or the knowledge to deploy such sophisticated financial maneuvering.
The gold is making a huge triangle pattern that it's been in for almost 5 years. It's been in a bottoming pattern for almost 5 years. And the triangle in the latter part of it, it's broken above the triangle like 3 or 4 times and fallen back in 1 or 2 or 3 days into the pattern. But if it can hold above that a couple of days or have a continuation or a good breakout is followed by momentum and volatility and volume. So if it gets the volatility and the volume coming more than 1 day or 2 days, then I would say we could go a lot higher in gold. I'm intermediate and long-term excited about it. And short-term, maybe more downside, maybe some sideways. We're waiting to see. I want to see technical confirmations of things.
Short term, I'm neutral here as well. But if you look at the monthly, I don't know if you get a chance to do this. I think most people are too short term focused. The dollar on one screen, the monthly, the gold on the other. And you notice a rather interesting and compelling couple of features here. You see a parabolic 2 or 3 years in the US dollar. You see a bottoming parabolic bowl-like shape fits a parabola almost perfectly on gold. You know what's upsetting investors, Arch, is that gold's not getting the follow-through that they were looking for.
Well, it will in time, I'm sure. But the thing is, there is a crowd, a very powerful and moneyed crowd that doesn't want it to go up. So that has been holding it back for years, and at some point they're going to lose control. But the dollar made that neckline, it broke down seriously. Technical, very, very negative. Then it's come back up to kiss the neckline, which is traditional, before it collapses. I'm hoping for our own personal reasons, I hope it doesn't collapse, but it might, and whatever it does, it might not be good for everybody in this country.
I think it's well said. You know, it's what we call the run for the hills, grab the bug out bag moment. I kid some of my other guests, you know, do we really want to be Mr. Burns at the top of the hill with marauding crowds of pitchforks and torches, right? Really doesn't do anyone, except maybe the 1% of the 1%, the upper echelon of our overlord, cui bono? Who benefits? They benefit. But the rest of us, I don't think any of us have probably procured enough to weather a complete currency collapse. We could be on the cusp of a second wave higher in the precious metals bull market.
I would say that if we get the breakouts, then it could certainly happen. The way the charts look on the dollar is semi-confirming.
Do you then have any particular sectors or asset classes that you're monitoring in anticipation of a bull rally?
Not particularly. I like shorts. I shorted 200% in January. I got stopped out of the first batch, but I'm still 100% short, being monitored by the services since the 15th of January.
Do you have any inkling or indication as to what we will eventually recognizes the impetus for the top?
I think that's not out of the question. I certainly wouldn't guarantee that, but I don't know how much of this whole thing was by the interest rate rising fairly sharply over a short period of time.
of course, we are facing further rate hikes, and nothing could derail an economic recovery, if you really want to call it that. It's an artificial recovery. I think we'd all probably agree here today. Nothing could derail that faster than higher rates, because mortgages and new construction and corporate expansion and sales, everything hinges on artificially low rates. And without that, you know, it's almost pulling the carpet, you might agree.
Well, I think you summed it up very well. Rates go up, the world is swamped in debt. So the rates going up are going to hurt multitudes of people and corporations and whatnot. So we'll see how it goes.
I'd like to shift gears over to a different area of personal interest of ours and hopefully some of our listeners. It's not really the purview of this broadcast. I've always been fascinated by technology, particularly electrical engineering and computer sciences. This progression of artificial intelligence, that we are coming to that Ray Kurzweil moment. Everyone I'm sure knows Ray Kurzweil, probably the greatest forecast record in technology, at least 87% correct record over 40 years. He's claiming by 2029, we will pass the singularity where AI is at least as intelligent as a human being. I believe actually we've already passed that in individual components, meaning they just crushed the game of Go, 100 times more difficult than chess, or at least more moves per move. It wasn't thought that would be done for a decade. Actuarial jobs, accounting jobs, high paying, very high level, just replaced in Japan by a single deep mind IBM artificial intelligence. Something like 37 jobs, millions of dollars saved, but also very important jobs lost. But they recently took a cab ride, you know, on the Kaiser Report in, I think it was Nevada, in a fully automated taxi. And what was so compelling was they pulled up to an intersection and they're asking, well, how many of these things are out here? On top of three SUVs right next to them at the intersection, spinning artificial intelligence on all three of them as they just drove off. It was as though 15 to 20% of the traffic was already controlled.
I do not have clear thoughts about that. I enjoy driving, and men enjoy their cars. And I think it's partly a continuation of the demasculinization movement. They want people to not have drivers. And the other thing that concerns me is that in recent years, some of the electronics in engines have been proven to be hacked. And if somebody wants to get rid of somebody, they might just take over their car and run it at 100 miles an hour into a brick wall.
You are right. That could be used to injure you, but you know, it also could be used to stop someone from chasing you. Call in to the local constabulary, you give them the license plate number and description, tell them where you are, and they shut down the engine. What I'm saying is the level of hacker knowledge it would require, I would say, is quite substantial. And there's a remarkable show called Cyber War, and it's on the Vice Channel, and they actually dedicated nearly an entire episode to exactly what you just said. The host of the show sat in a car with the hacker. The hacker had a laptop in his lap, and he crashed their vehicle in a parking lot multiple times using the laptop. I mean, this is not a thing of science fiction. This is science fact right now. We're all, I think, deeply intrigued by the idea of an artificial intelligence and the robotic technology, and we've all seen Sophia, I'm sure, online. I don't know if you're familiar with Nick Bostrom. And, of course, there's the Hugo fellow, another researcher from Australia. All started out excited about AI. I mean, it was their forte. Now they're scared, just like Elon Musk. We see a real turnaround on their points of view. And so I thought, well, let's look into this further. Professor Bostrom outlined a fascinating scenario. You think you're just going to unplug it, right? When we get AI, you're just going to put it in a little container and you're going to pull the plug and Bob's your uncle. What he tried to make clear is when they surpass human intelligence, it will go parabolic, because it will start rewiring itself, and they're already doing this, by the way. So what happens is you go to pull the plug, and guess what it does? It shorts out a certain part of its circuit, which retains just enough static electricity to send out Morse code to a printer. That printer, 3 miles away through the window, shot out a laser beam. That printer receives it and then sends in a chain of events that leads to it getting electricity turned back on. A clone copy of itself, hide it in multiple cyber deep cyber locations. Well, listen, as we wrap up today, are there any other market insights you'd like to share with the listeners?
The main one was that the first 2 or 3 days down, the advanced declines went horribly negative, which is unusual, and some people came up with the Hindenburg omen, which I think is based on something like that, going very negative advanced declines right off a top. I don't know what the other specifics were, but an important sell signal in my mind. Now that we get a low in March, middle of March maybe, and a rally back up at the seasonal highs in late April and May, there may be more danger coming in at the eclipses during the summer of next year. And then as we go into election, or I don't know what is going to happen with that, but it's exceedingly bitter and is very unusual since like the Civil War. And I am concerned about that.
That we could see a time of political or social upheaval then, similar to that tragic time in our history?
Yes. There are elements in our society that are trying to make that happen, and I hope they don't.
Frankly, between you and I think we're already in the middle of a cold civil war, and it has been underway for several decades.
I could see that. Well, it's a time to be especially careful and especially risk averse, put it that way. That's what we talk about, risk.
So you like cash, bear funds. You certainly wouldn't be looking for bargains right now in U.S. equities. Take this time here, if you'd like, to promote your activities in a couple of interesting events, and maybe folks listening will have a chance to join those events.
In Orange County, at around 6, I think, speaking for SCAN, Southern California Astrological Network, Saturday, I think around midday, I'm speaking in San Diego, and I don't remember the name of their name, but San Diego and astrology would probably find that group. Okay, will do. Bye-bye.